And I grew up in a very difficult time of the Philippines, which is actually under the dictatorship of Marcos during the time. So I was forced to fight for freedom, you know, and I was in prison for 4 years.
Welcome to Impact Investing TV Show.
We show you solutions to global environmental and social challenges to inspire you for actions towards the SDGs.
You will also learn the best way to invest your money and create impact while making profit.
Let's discover impact investing world and true sustainability right now.
Hi, and welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjees, Season 6, Episode 7.
We continue to explore the topic of the season, impact investments in times of crisis. And by the way, Ramadan Kareem to all our viewers from all around the world. This is the season of giving and sharing, especially with those who are not so fortunate or have a voice. Today, we will talk about a true evil topic, what we as humans tend to deliberately ignore, as it feels very uncomfortable. And in my opinion, it should go in all ears. Then we might be able to stop human trafficking and child abuse, and instead put our efforts to bring smiles on children's faces. So from surviving to thriving is today's topic.
And we will interview a woman who saved thousands of children and learn about her organization and how it is giving them a second chance in life.
But before we start, Ben, please share your story.
So, well, Sweta, few weeks ago, we informed during our show that we are on our way to UAE, United Arab Emirates, for the first time for us.
Yes, indeed. And we had great time there.
That's very true. We had an amazing time, but it was also a very humbling experience for me, to say the least. I was so very amazed that often we talk about big and small ideas. Here in Switzerland, where often we have the most innovative items and products and services, and we would have to go and talk for weeks, show samples, discuss, negotiate, and yet not be able to change the minds of businesses or institutions to select or adapt to sustainable or impactful processes or products. In UAE, they just do it. Not only everything is spotlessly clean, but activities are also efficient and very sustainable. At our hotel, all the straws were paper straws, no single-use plastic, etc., etc., etc. I can talk the whole time about it. They are just leapfrogging us easily, especially with the Western conservative investment strategies. We are no competition for them, especially since they are open to Asia and Africa, two of the largest and growth markets, and also the sector where impact investment focuses in. So either we start learning from them, working together with them, or the future of sustainable and impactful business in the West will not be that great future at anymore.
Well, indeed, we need to think out of the box, embrace the innovative business models, take investment risk, choose impact and profit, and not just traditional business and profit. So we'll see how the MENA region story will continue. We'll keep you posted. But I'd like to invite now our amazing guests of today, Mrs. Cecilia Oibanda Passes. Please come to the TV show.
Hello.
Hello, Cecilia. Great to have you with us. I'm really thrilled to have you with us today.
Where are you, Cecilia, at this moment?
I'm in Manila. So good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Oh, for you, it is middle of the night or not?
No, it's around 9 o'clock in the evening. So it's fine.
That's good.
Cecilia, I'd like to introduce you briefly to our audience before we start with the interview. So, Cecilia, you are internationally acclaimed slavery fighter. Through Voice of the Free, you rescue, heal, and reintegrate survivors of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. Working together with partners, you protect more than 30,000 young girls which were at risk and exploited. You are instrumental in the enactment of pioneering laws in the Philippines to promote decent work for domestic workers, law to eliminate the worst forms of child labor, and anti-trafficking law amendments. You are also appointed by the two Philippine presidents to the Interagency Council Against Trafficking as NGO representative, and you served for 6 years there. You're also a member of the Presidential Illegal Recruitment Task Force during the Aquino administration. And I also like to add that you received many awards, including Skoll Award for Social Entrepreneurship in 2008, given in Oxford. Also, U.S. Department of Labor Iqbal Masih Award. You also were one of the 2011 winners of the World Children's Prize, WCP, for the rights of the child in Sweden, whose patrons include Nelson Mandela and Queen Sylvia. You were also presented with the 2011 Caritas Prize Award from Caritas Switzerland in our home country. And in November 2013, you received the 2016 Trust Law Connect Impact Award of Thompson.
So I think in all this list, you're only missing now the Nobel Peace Prize.
No, you're still young, maybe it's just yet to come. They say, so when I was going through your website, reading your story and kids' stories which were saved by your organization, I couldn't hold my tears. Could you tell us what inspired you to become a slavery fighter and create such huge impact in kids' lives that you helped to save?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And it's really an honor for me to be with you too. Well, I think what I can say is that I experienced also, you know, like slavery situations. Yeah, I was born very in a poor family, and I grew up in a very difficult time of the Philippines, which is actually under the dictatorship of Marcos during the time. So I was forced to fight for freedom, you know, and I was imprisoned for 4 years during the dictatorship in the 1980s. And I was in prison together with my two children and my husband. So yeah, almost all the family except for my youngest son, dad, we are separated for almost 12 years. So you see, yeah, inspiration is really came from my own experience of losing freedom. And as a mother, you know, seeing your children grow up in prison, it's like a torture every day. Yeah. So I think that's carrying me through to, you know, in fighting slavery and fighting for freedom, because you know how you lost it and how important it is. So yeah.
You are a complete inspiration. Thank you so very much for giving us the honor to be our guest today. So I wanted to ask you, how have you worked with law enforcement to prosecute cases of human trafficking and sexual exploitation?
Yeah, well, of course, before we start, when we started actually working with the government, the situation of the Philippines is really very bad when it comes to human trafficking. But as you know, we are a non-governmental organizations, and we have a limited mandate. We cannot do rescue operation. It's the police, you know, it's police job. While we are licensed with the Department of Social Welfare, rescue, you know, and fighting against the criminal is not our mandate. So therefore, it is really very important to work with the law enforcer. And that's why we partner with the government. And luckily, I was appointed by two presidents to be part of the highest body that, you know, implement the policy of laws against human trafficking. It's quite interesting working with the law enforcer, because, of course, you need also to be careful, because not, as we know, not all
people in the, you know, in the, yeah, in the law enforcer are really good guys. There are also people who are not in our side. So, yeah, we need, you need also to be careful who we are to work with. So we work with a range of law enforcers, you know. We work with the immigration, we work with Coast Guard, we work with Philippine police, all kinds of law enforcer, because we do guard, we're guarding the sea, land, and air travels of people who are vulnerable to human trafficking.
And like, what is the range of human trafficking? Because I was shocked by reading that even 1-year-old girl was sexually abused. I mean, how crazy that can be, you know? So what is the range of human trafficking in Philippines?
Well, as you need to understand that the Philippines is actually a migrant country, you know? So we are source of migrants all over the world. So it is already in the psyche of the Filipino that the first front line of defense when it comes to poverty is to send people away from home. You know, so we have overseas contract worker in Middle East and other part of the world. But recently, it's really become ugly, you know, because the Philippines become really the, it's like an epicenter of online sex abuse of children. And for us, it's a really a new phenomenon. Even we are quite, you know, experiencing this issue, seeing very young children, you know, sold online and forced by parents to perform abusive sexual performance there is really unacceptable. What's also very alarming for us is that in the first wave of pandemic, there's an increase of online sex exploitation by 264% increase. And that's only the first wave, which actually represent around 200 cases already. And we know by the fact that this is just a tip of the iceberg, because human trafficking is an underground crime, you know, so it's not visible. So gathering this kind of information and able to track this, you know, this progress in cases is really quite alarming for us. It's quite shocking.
And like, what would you say is the root of for the cause for this happening at all? Lack of education of people, or why are they doing it? Lack of ethics, morality, or like, what is it? Poverty and desperation. What is the cause of this?
Well, I think you say it right, Sita. I think, yeah, of course, everybody said that it's, you know, it's poverty, which during the pandemic, a lot of Filipino really slides to extreme poverty. Well, okay, it's economic, but it's also cultural, you know. So people believe that the only way for them really to tackle poverty is to work away from home. And even parents and family have this mindset that there's nothing wrong for their children to put online because there's no direct action or there's no encounters. But it's a terrible situation because girls are raped online while people are watching. So we need really to educate our people how, you know, to be aware of this and see this as unacceptable practices that our children and our people are not for sale and in any reason, even poverty or cultural acceptance or, you know, whatever it is, it's unacceptable. And we need to stop that. So that's why you need really to, you know, to work and to address the problem in different fields, from prevention to protection, partnership, and also prosecution.
And what is the biggest challenge facing your activities, the activities of human trafficking?
Well, as of now, the continuing increase is really the big challenge because we cannot rescue forever. We need also to, as I said, we need also to install, you know, different fields of attacks, like prevention is also very, very important, but of course you need a lot of resources. Challenges also, you can imagine that this is a syndicated, you know, crime, and security for us is also a huge problem. There's a lot of attempts to destroy the organization, or even we are actually attacked by the syndicate. Of course, the challenges is that parents need to understand that, you know, children are not for sale. And on the top of that is how to sustain their intervention of ours, because it requires a lot of resources to sustain and to make it replicable to other areas also.
Right. Thank you, Cecilia. And can you tell us more about your organization, Voice of the Free? So what's the story behind it, and what are the objectives and goals? How do you help the victims?
Yes, yeah. Well, our Voice of the Free is around, more than 30 years organization. So we start really just to respond to the needs when we started. But what we're doing in Voice of the Free, that we incubate strategic interventions, you know, to model it so that government can replicate it. So we are the organization who engage in creating models in transit area like task forces. So we incubate the model of creating task force in the ports, task forces in seaports, airports, and even land-based, you know, organization. And as of now, we are happy that it is now institutionalized by the government. We try really to contribute in shaping the country's the mindset of making people understand the risks of trafficking and how they impact this to the whole generation. So yeah, so the purpose is just really for the Filipinos, yeah? The Filipinos to explore opportunity without risk of being enslaved and exploited, you know, like other people in different part of the world. And for that, for us, we really need to develop a lot of, you know, innovative strategy, and that's including legislative reforms, you know, implementing the laws that was already passed in the Senate and in the Congress, because having law is one, but implementation is 100 million question. So yeah, and of course we also invest a lot in the young people and in, you know, educating them how to protect themselves. And for our girls, we have a shelter. We have a shelter called Center of Hope. Center of Hope provides a holistic intervention that includes healing and restoration. We provide education to the girls. 100% of our girls go back to school once they are in the shelter. We also provide them with skills to, you know, to be entrepreneur, because not all of them can go back to school. So others also have a different set of skills so that they can go on in their life. And on the top of everything, we are just there to, you know, to accept who they are. No judgment, just be there and make them understand that there's hope. Well, there's people that can, you know, help them continue their journey.
And what is the capacity of the Hope Center? How many kids or people at all, adults, you can take?
All the time we can take 60, but sometimes we have 80. Yeah, so we have to add beds and so that we can just accommodate. And so yeah, and of course we cater to different range of age. So as of now, the youngest that we have is 8 months old.
We have 8 months.
Yes, yeah. We have 1-year-old, we have 3-year-old, and that's really heartbreaking. One of the 3-year-old was actually sold just for 3,000 pesos, around $40 online.
My God.
And when he was rescued, this is a little boy. When he was rescued, he is really blue and white. You know, he was tortured. And yeah, he cannot even speak. He not even registered, you know.
He's Daniel, right? I've seen him on the website. That's cool. His name is Daniel. Daniel, right?
Yes, yeah. So that's, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. So
what can be done for him, Cecilia? So what can be done for Daniel, precisely?
Well, of course, yeah. First, really, not only for Daniel, but for everybody. Of course, we need support. We need to continue to provide them safe home. We need to continue to provide them with opportunities. We need to provide them with care that they deserve. And yeah, and the more that you can help us, of course, if you can contribute to our cause, the more children that we can rescue like Daniel and given the opportunity for a better life.
And you also mentioned that you support marginalized communities.
Yes, we do, because we cannot continue just to rescue or to help those who are already in trafficking situation. We need to do prevention work. You know, we have to stop the problem before it's become in the destination. So we work with the community, we organize the community and the parents. Actually, there are a lot of communities here in the Philippines that we can consider a cross-generational vulnerable already to trafficking. So meaning, there are communities that their grandparents are migrants working abroad, the mother, the sister, the cousins, the whole generation, and we need to stop and to provide them with other alternatives. So what we're doing in the communities is, of course, to try to change their mindset by make them understand that there are opportunities also in the communities, and help them how to tap the government resources, because there are programs in the government, but sometimes people don't know how to tap it. And we introduce actually businesses and social enterprise to the parents. And as of now, we are happy that we have a lot of models already that are ready for actually to scale up. And we partner with the different confederations of communities also to replicate our models. So attacking the culture and attacking the economic roots of the problem. So that's why it is really very important to work in the community, because we cannot just, work in just one side. It should be holistic.
Absolutely. So education and empowerment is playing a huge role, as I understand, right?
Yes.
Of the freeze work.
Yes, and that's another investment for us. We invest in the next generation by organizing movements of young people or youth. Now, this is a youth movement. This is called the iFight movement. So it presents in different schools where we actually organize and educate young people to how to protect themselves, to understand the red flags, identify what are existing laws that can protect them if they are planning to go somewhere, or someone recruiting them, or someone are actually luring them to strip in, online. So they need to be informed. So we are organizing this youth in order for hoping that our next generations are actually informed and ready to face this problem.
That's amazing, and we completely support you in that education and empowerment. It's so neat, especially you have such an amazing country, So for me, it's very difficult to understand why go anywhere. You have the sea, you have fruit, you have anything one can wish here, So I'm sure there's an opportunity to create local jobs so all these people could be there, be with their families, and they have dignity.
Right.
And my question to you is, what is your plan for the future and any upcoming projects you're working on right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, for us, what we are planning really is trying to, you know, well, we're looking for investment so that we can actually replicate our models already, especially our, you know, our prevention models, the two prevention mm-hmm. models for the youth and for the community. We can go to more schools if we have additional resources. We can go to different, more communities and help them, you know, access resources to the government to open different job opportunities so that they don't have to migrate, you know, somewhere and be vulnerable to human trafficking. And our plan is really to focus on that and to transfer also our expertise to other organizations and to continue lobbying to the government to institutionalize our proven models of intervention to curb the issue of trafficking. And for me, I'm retiring. I'm actually retired now as an executive director. And I'm still going to enjoy the girls in the shelter. That's my life. That's the air that I breathe, you know, love to love, soul to soul, spirit to spirits. I love them, you know. I've continued to see them, their smile, continue to hoping to see them have success in life. You know, there are children this year that will be graduating in college. We will have teacher, we will have manager who's going to graduate this year. And I want to see more of these girls in that situation. So please help.
And Cecily, how much are you looking for? What amount of money are we talking about?
Actually, our annual budget is around $300,000. Mm-hmm. That's an annual budget. And we have around, I think we have around 20% of that is already, you know, it's already covered by our supporters. So, yeah, I'm still looking.
And can you talk about any success stories or accomplishment of the Voice of the Free is particularly proud of?
Yes, yeah. For me, of course, what I'm proud of is the laws that we passed, you know, because it's now, that's three laws. It's really changed a lot in the life of domestic worker, of the life of child laborer, the trafficking, but of course, there's so much still need to be done when it comes to implementation. I'm also proud of the, you know, of the task forces that being replicated by the government now. And it's now in place and it's working. I'm so happy with that. But on the top of everything is that the smile, the success stories of the girls from victims to become victors. And now they are leaders in their own field and they are the source of pride of their family. And they are full of hope and sorry. Every time I talk to them,
I can be close to that. I'm constantly holding it back, you know, already the whole TV shows. We can do all that and be quiet together, Kirin.
I think above everything is that the life of survival that changed, the smile of this little ones, the 18 years old, the 8 years, the 8 months old, the 1 year old. If you see them smiling and dancing, and you know, yeah, for me that's
what the world is needing. I think. It's all what our world is needing. Compassion and love.
Yeah. So,
and you had also today a guest for us. You wanted to introduce us. So can we welcome Jane to the show?
Please join us.
Hello, everyone.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, for having us.
Signing up today. We are thrilled to hear your story and more about yourself. Can you please tell us your name and your story?
Oh, sure. Hello, everyone. I feel very privileged to be with you today to represent the voice of the free and the victims and survivors of human trafficking and other forms of modern slavery. My name is Jane. Hello. I belong to a tribe called Manubo in Mindanao. When I was 12 years old, I was lured by a man who is visiting our community, and he convinced me to go with him with a promise to give me and my family a better life. In exchanging for providing for my needs, he sold me into different men. I had to follow all the instructions of the customer during online show, and I was also forced to meet the customers in person and was obliged to render sexual services when they visited the Philippines. For almost 5 years, I endured this situation. Luckily, I was rescued together with 4 other victims, including a 1-year-old, 5, 7, 15 years old, and we're all minors and all the victims of online sexual exploitation. It's for 3 years I fought for justice and gained conviction and against our trafficking in the Philippines. One of the foreign customers is now facing legal charges, and while the other customers are still being tracked. And we were housed at the Center of Hope of Voice of the Free, where we give in a trauma-informed healing and recovery programs, which has encouraged me to start a new beginning. And now, I am currently in school as a first-year college student, taking up Bachelor of Science in Hospitality Management. And I am looking forward to be graduating this year. And I'm also grateful because I am now an active advocate against human trafficking and promoting children's rights through the iFight movement. iFight movement is actually a nationwide youth movement that gives awareness on the dangers of human trafficking and teaching the youth how to protect themselves and their social circles and inspire them to advocate and act in their schools and communities. I am very grateful and happy that our voices is being listened to in to this event like this, and hearing our tragic stories is so important, because this will serve as inspiration and motivation to the stakeholders to take an action. Thank you so much.
Wow, Jane, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And could you share with us, what is your idea? How can we work to prevent human trafficking and support survivors like yourself after that, if it's already happened?
You have the power to transform our lives and the lives of human trafficking survivors. Please invest in Voice of the Free and help protect more girls like me so we can achieve our dreams. And one of those dreams is to help even more survivors and more survivors. But right now, at the Center of Voice of the Free, they can only accommodate around 50 girls. With your help, Voice of the Free can also provide more safe spaces to heal and rebuild our lives by working together. And you can also continuously fulfill Voice of the Free mission of bridging hope and upholding dignity.
Thank you,
Jane. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you. We will do our best.
I don't know.
Cecilia, we wanted to ask you, how do you think our audience can support you?
Well, as Jane said, with your help, we can really replicate what we have now, so we can do more on our prevention area. We can go to more community. We can
go to more school. But on the top of that, we can help more girls, you know, bring back hope and, you know, and smile to their beautiful faces. And yeah, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy for us, of course, to, you know, to provide all of this. And that's why we are grateful that we are invited here, and because we are really hoping that we can find help. As of now, there are around 50 girls under our care, and with the limited resources, we can just limit also the services that we have, because everything is provided to the survivors at our shelter.
And where can our audience find information over your shelter? It's on the website.
Yes, it's in the website. Please visit our website, Voice of the Free in the Philippines. You know, it's easy. You can go to our website and in our Facebook. No, you can visit us there, and we promise you to respond to you immediately.
Cecilia, because it's on my mind, I need to say that, you know, after 30 years, you must already have certain statistics from which countries the criminals are coming who are responsible for human trafficking. What are the top 3 or 5 countries, like, we're particularly coming up all the time?
Well, actually, as of now, it's really all over the place. You know, it's, you know, even the third world country has a trafficking. But I don't have really the data, but I believe that it's actually all over the world, and that third world country, yeah, is one of the most vulnerable. You know, what's really alarming now is that the number is really continues to grow. In fact, the 2022 data from International Labor Organization, IOM, and WAFRI shows that there are around 49.6 million already in slavery situations. And that increased by 5% since the last data was actually estimate was actually pegged in 2017. So that's only show that it's continuous growing. And I believe that Philippines is one of the high-risk country, and even the source country when it comes to online trafficking, as I said before.
Oh, Cecile, we will do our best, as I said, to help you to scale your model and to do what you can do, right? And we will also do what we can do on our side. I encourage all the audience to check what's happening in your country. Maybe some or other organizations are also fighting against human trafficking, which you can support. And of course, support Cecilia's organization. Cecilia, the time is running, but I still want to ask you to say to us your call to action to the global audience.
Well, again, thank you for everybody who's listening. I hope that you will join our fight against human trafficking. I believe that in our generation, we can end this if we have a right strategies. Help us to replicate the models that we've been developed for almost 30 years. And please help us give a new future, a new opportunity for the survivor. These are young kids. They can be your daughter. They can be your grandchildren. So we need to act together and fight this evil that we are facing today. Please support Voice of the Free. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cecilia. Thank you for joining us today. It was a great pleasure meeting you. I mean, if one person can move so much, you know, if only every person would do that on our planet.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Cecilia.
Thank you, Cecilia. And if we are in Philippines, we are definitely going to visit you.
Please. Looking forward to that day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye for now. So dear viewers, with this, we finish the seventh episode of season six. Next week, we will be presenting another amazing organization from Mexico and the United States, which is run by young people who are trying to protect the apex species. So these are like the tigers, sharks, etc., as they are one of the most important keystones of our ecosystem.
And of course, we invite all the impactful businesses who are seeking investment or support, branding or any support on our TV show. Contact us at apply@iasolution.ch. Stay safe, take care of yourself, your families, but also remember that your family is big. It's the whole planet Earth.
That was beautiful. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Impact Investing TV Show. Make sure you subscribe to our channel not to miss any future episodes.
Leave us some feedback and get in touch with us if you want to be our next TV show guest.
And find us on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And join the awesome Impact community. We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And remember, it's not hard to act.
Just give your heart to impact.